All right, welcome to the September 4th use case realization call. Today, we'll be going over some of our M0 milestone things, which is happening tomorrow, I believe. And in the latter half of the meeting, Simuli from Ericsson and Timo Perella from Nokia are supposed to be joined for a discussion about
licensing, I guess, right?
Licensing management, yep. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of Prabhus. I'm not sure which one it is.
First one, 2017. Okay.
Prabhu Balan, is that it? Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, right.
Okay. All right, great, thanks. Okay. All right, and Vimal, are you aware? I think there's some kind of there's a face to face happening with maybe PTLs or something. Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware. I thought there is a Delhi stand-up meetings, but I'm not aware of any face-to-face.
There's some sort of, I was on the architecture call this week, and Stephen Terrell mentioned there might be some sort of...
Stephen was referring to this face-to-face meeting on September 26th and 27th in Belgium.
Belgium, yeah. Okay. What is that?
So that's... on 26 and 27, the face-to-face meeting for Frankfurt release. It's in Antwerp, close to Brussels.
But that's not a DDF, right? So
it's not. I think it's a regular quarterly face-to-face meeting to launch the Frankfurt release.
So do we need to present at that, the use cases, or?
I'm planning to go.
Oh, you're planning to go. Okay. All right. Great. So maybe you and I, we should review the where's my?
Ella has put 2 hours for use case review, and okay. Stephen Terrell has put 2 hours for architecture. So
I see.
We'll
okay.
see what we need to share with them and coordinate our.
Right. Okay. So there is, you remember we created this overview slide. I'm looking, I think it's here, that went over what we were planning to do in R6, which was presented in June, right? So we gave an overview of all of the use cases and we coordinated with all the use case teams to kind of go over what we were planning to do. And there's been a few new use cases since then, of course, so maybe this needs to be updated. Yeah, maybe you and I can have a meeting.
So sometime next week, we have a clear view of what we are planning for Frankfurt, we want to finalize the deck probably next week or the.
Sounds good. Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, and I'll schedule a meeting for that. Okay. All right. I see some more people are joining. Okay. So, actually, I was just on the ANA call, and Damien, there was a Jimmy on the ANA call brought up there was a JIRA ticket for this. Do you have the number or link of that JIRA ticket?
I have a number. It's on the ANAI front, because this is an EPIC which covers a few components. And ANAI component is ANAI 2594.
Okay, let me see. Thank you. Let me add.
And that's going to be real quick, so
okay.
I didn't want to spend a lot of time.
No problem. Let me just see if I can find it. This one, is this it? Let me see if I can go to it. I might have to save.
That is a task. So we have an EPIC in Vite, and within ANA we have a task.
Okay.
That is the right one.
Okay, and I see Jimmy, you're on the call.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so Damien, go ahead. You want to give us a view of what this is about? What?
Yeah, so in general, real quick, so we are working on some improvement for Vite, actually, for Vite. And the improvement is that we would like to show in the service model browser an indication whether a specific service model is macro orchestrated or could be macro orchestrated, or whether it is a la carte orchestrated, right? And this property, whether it's macro or a la carte, called orchestration type, is, I think it was introduced in ONAP Casablanca release in SDC, and it is there a mandatory component of each and every service model that is created, and it belongs to the metadata of this of the service model. Now we would like to make use out of this parameter in Vite to describe or to show whether a service model is orchestrated in one type or another. It helps a little bit when we are doing testing, troubleshooting, and integration to know which models could be affected with some issues happening for a specific type of orchestration, right? So that is a little bit of a background why we want to do this. And what we have found is that this metadata information, or some metadata information on the service models, they are stored in ANAI, and there are two objects which store this data. There is an object called model, which refers to a model-related metadata, and there is an object called model version, or model-ver, that I'm referring to in this item, which stores the information about specific versions of the service models, right? And we have found that already this model version object, it contains quite some metadata information, including the distribution status. What we would like to do is to extend this object with additional parameter, and I propose the name orchestration type, because this is the name that we have in the SDC, which would store this property, whether the service is planned to be macro orchestrated or a la carte orchestrated. And then we can use this property to display this information in Vite or any other component that will be using this service model. So it could be as well external API or any other component that reads from the that reads the metadata from the inventory. So it is more or less an extension of the existing data model that we have for model object and model, actually model version or model ver object, right? And it could be optionally, I learned from Ofir yesterday that there is probably a component within ANAI which allows to read the service model CSAR metadata parameters and update the parameters at the distribution time, update those parameters in the ANAI. So this is something that we could consider to extend this SDC parser, probably SDC parser, and store this additional value in this new field that's going to be hopefully added to this model where object in ANAI, right? So this is more or less what we would like to do from the ANAI front. So far from Vite and from SDC, we got positive feedback about what we want to do. And then question is, what is the feedback from the ANAI? So I'm just wondering if Jimmy had some time to look at this, or maybe you have some opinion whether it makes sense to use this SDC parser or any other component to update this information.
So I would defer to Chandra on this, who mm-hmm. wrote some comments. Mm-hmm. So can you answer the question that Chandra raised there at the bottom?
Yes, I gave an answer already as a comment, right? So, but going quickly, we can go quickly through this. I see that the discussion is continuing. Okay.
Yeah, there was more. So I was curious, like what to go based on these new questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for these three questions, we could say, I mean, we could go through them quickly. The source of the information is SDC. The consumer is probably Vite today, maybe other components, but we are looking essentially at Vite. Second one, this orchestration type, yes, it is provided for all the service models. It is a mandatory field in SDC, which is always filled when you create a service model. And whether we need to migrate existing models in ANAI, which is probably the most important question. I mean, from my perspective, not necessarily. because we do not have this information today. And as all components, another component, they are doing the model decomposition. So we do not necessarily need to migrate all existing models in ANAI. We can leave this field as optional and fill it up for new service models. For old service models, we will display unknown. And when you do like service orchestration, then it will be working properly because this information is not used. This ANAI field is not used by service orchestration when doing the orchestration. It will be used by VIT. So we could do this migration just to synchronize all the service models, right? But it's not absolutely necessary to do it. We can leave as well without this migration, and we can set this field up only for the new service models that will be created. That is my opinion. And the next question that is asked later on, I will answer maybe after this call, because I just seen that there was an answer to this description that I gave.
So also, Damien, there was Joanne Lou Rudell and I are working on this runtime DB use case, and this is maybe a candidate for something that doesn't necessarily belong in ANAI that might be runtime data. So the idea of this use case was to develop something. I mean, there was something already developed basically by the OF, by Shankar. And the idea was that it can store stuff that's runtime stuff that doesn't necessarily belong in ANAI. And this sounds like maybe it's a candidate eventually for that. Now this database this use case is still being developed, of course. So maybe right now we put it there, but I think the point was that, go ahead. The point was that I think that you know, we're starting to
And we have runtime catalog, which is where we should be storing that type of metadata.
I engaged Changzhou, the one the AI database GM2, right, the one the meeting. So the way that when you do the initialization, the one we went through this one too with the AI, the Changzhou, Jim may not be in one of the meeting, right? So the one we can, so certainly AI only doing the virtual things, but the ping I think that we'll try to do put into the, you know, like you know, device network element information, ping information, on the, you know, configuration information from runtime catalog to the configure DB. That's why maybe we initialize the way that, but the one still try to initialize you wait, you have it, you trigger, how to trigger through the ISO, right, to do the create object too, right, to the ANAI, right, for the your flow in here, right?
I mean, from my side, I don't know if I completely got the answer that you were giving. But what I could tell is, like, we are talking here about one property of a service model, and there are other properties. I mean, in this comment, I gave already a list of those properties because I believe there was a question about it. So, in order to decide whether we keep it in ANAI, we put it to the runtime catalog or a runtime database or anywhere else, I think it's a broader discussion on this complete set of objects, right? Because we have service models, we have models, and we have model versions. So I think it's much broader discussion than adding this one single field. Nevertheless, whatever we decide, we should do it in a synchronized manner for all those fields, right? So
your catalog wouldn't be the runtime catalog. In the ICD design, it's a design time catalog. So you can here use a lot card will be only service to simple service to one main and the micro D. You right now in here only as distribution type, right? For the, like say, a lot card, a micro.
Yes.
For the, that's only for the distribution. You see, during the instantiation for HDC, create an ISO create object to the, you know, in the ANAI. That's the only thing you're doing here, right? That's a little bit different. I'm with you. Okay. Yeah.
So this model var object, it is created at the distribution time, right? I'm not sure about model, but model var, it is created at the distribution time, before or after or during, somewhere in there, right? It's associated with the distribution of a service model. So this.
Yeah. So okay. Ben, we need to engage with you. Certainly has a, just a quick question, right? The you wait, right? The modeling work. You just want to make confirm you wait and SDC. You sync up with the Kevin, right? For the information model too, right? The information model in OwnUp, right? Not in sync, right? For the downtime. Right? I just want to confirm this. All right, thank you.
All right. If there are other questions, we can put them in this item 2594, and then we could have further discussion. I will have a look at this again, right? Because there were some additional questions that I didn't that I haven't seen before the meeting. I will have a look at this one. I'm actually a watcher of this, so if there is something new, any other questions, then we can continue the discussion in this list. But okay, I know I need to continue this with Sharma. No, that was not the name. With the person who commented, would be Chandra. Yeah. Chandra.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Damien.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Damien. Okay. So I think one thing that we should probably discuss also, because it's tomorrow, right? So I think the M0 deadline is tomorrow. Let me see, is it here? So even though R5, I think, ends at the end of September, I think tomorrow is the M0 deadline for the use cases. And there's a few things that have to happen. One, in this page here that the TSC call tomorrow discusses all of the use cases logged in this page. So I think I checked last time on our last call, and I believe that all of our all of the major use cases I think are in here now. But I might have missed something. So take a look and see if you see your use case here, and see if this information is it correct. So it has the projects that are impacted, or the expected projects that are impacted, and then these are, of course, the gates and scorecards that they use throughout the release, and links to wiki pages. I don't know if I can scroll over here. Okay. And then, how big of an effort is this, whether it's test only or code, and whether it's been committed, and which companies are leading this effort. So take a look at this. I think this is, due ASAP. The other thing that we've been asking people to do is to fill out, and I know this is just, I'm on the 5G page, but this is true for all the use cases. You got to go into these pages and make sure these, at least at a high level, the development impacts are as accurate as you think you can make it for tomorrow.
So one more question, Ben. Do we have to create a Jira ticket for any of these or that stuff?
From my understanding, is we are supposed to have Jira tickets open for all of this stuff. But I think it's not super crucial for M0. I don't know. Jimmy is a PTL. He might be the only PTL on the call right now. So I think the main point, though, is that just you're not blindsiding the PTLs so they have an idea of what to expect from the use cases. I think that's the main thing in M0. I think it's certainly nice to have. I know the Zoo and other people working on, say the software, PNF software upgrade, have created tickets already, which is really good. I think Zoo's page is really good here. So, you've got there's a table of, of impacts, and then a table of Jira tickets, which is ideal. If you have the tickets open already, that's probably really good. Kind of maybe it's a step ahead of the curve. Jimmy, did you want to add something to that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think what you said makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, John.
So everyone will do the same thing as this one for each community that you see?
Yeah, so eventually, I think the main thing you need at M0 is just to fill in this table. And then by M1, you should have this a table like this, basically, with the JIRA tickets. Each one of these items, basically, I would expect probably to be a JIRA ticket, right? So you'd then probably create a table of who's doing what, who's assigned to this task, what project does it impact. So each of the tickets are opened against one of the major projects. So then I think they're assigned and created, and then they're tracked that way as well. I think there was also a discussion about whether they should be here too. I think it was the architecture call, and somebody asked should all the JIRA links, all of those JIRA links, be in here. I wasn't entirely sure about that, so I kind of expect maybe they would be, but of course, I mean, if you look at the software upgrade one, for example, I'm not sure you'd put every, you know, like these are 20, 30 JIRA tickets. I'm not sure that makes sense to put it here. Maybe I can raise that point at the TSC this week.
I think if it needed, it's better to put the EPIC tickets there.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And maybe, I mean, you know, all these things are kind of in the link in the wiki anyway. So, I mean, you can get them by going to the wiki, but I wouldn't expect a list of 20 JIRA tickets here. That seems a little odd. So yeah, maybe the EPIC ticket is the right thing to do because there's only a couple EPICs generally, one or two or three EPICs per use case. Okay. Vimal, do you think there's anything else we need to do by M0 or Jimmy? Does that sound right?
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. We can take a quick look at the, we can take a quick look at the release planning page. What's expected by, oops, that's not, wait a minute. Did they change that? Oh, they changed this page. So this used to be, that's interesting. I think they changed this page. Let me see if it's here. Oh yeah, this is what the page I'm used to looking at. Okay, so at M0, and maybe they're refining it or whatever, but so M0 is essentially kickoff, which again is September 5 tomorrow. And for every project, so you have to notify the TSC that they're notified to attention to participate, which is basically the page I just showed you, this page here, I'll put it in the chat. Okay, so, all right. So if you go to that page, just make sure that everything looks good to you and make sure the information is up to date. And I've basically gone off the, I think I went off the impact spreadsheet here. For the projects impacted. So again, just take a look and see if that information is accurate. So the new projects, there, Joanne and I presented at the architecture call. And maybe we'll just take a few minutes to bring people up to speed on this thing here. Now, we've already had a call on this already before, but it was a while ago, like maybe half a year ago. Let me see, where is it? Here we go. All right. So Joanna gave a call here to the architecture call. And the we're looking at the use case is, you know, runtime persistency. And one possible solution is to introduce a new component into ONAP. That's not necessarily what we're going to do. That's why we brought it up to the architecture team. But the idea for this thing is that there would be basically be a runtime database, a new runtime database. And I want to go over the full presentation because I think if Timo and Samuli join, I want to give them time for a discussion of licensing management. But the idea basically is that there would be some kind of component, whether it's a new platform component or some part of, you know, within another platform component, a runtime database, kind of like a data layer that could basically serve to store runtime data, configuration information, information related to PNFs or XNFs that's not inventory, runtime logical and physical, like network type information. And of course, there's similar sort of indices between ANEI and this runtime database, right? So things, if a element sort of disappears or is no longer available, that would have to be sort of kept in sync with the overall network. But the idea is that there's a lot of data that people are starting to run across in use cases that don't really belong in ANEI, and ANEI is starting to become sort of kitchen sink for stuff that's not inventory type stuff. So the OFPCI PCI is a good example, where basically physical cell identifiers and stuff are sort of runtime information related to NFs that don't necessarily belong. I mean, they're not an inventory piece of data, but ONAP needs to know about it. So that data can come in through an NF, reported from the NF or BNF, and it might be generated by ONAP through a policy or clamp or the controller and sent down to the PNF as well. And essentially, the idea of this is that there's a way that it can write into this runtime database. Okay, any questions? All right, so at the architecture call, we kind of discussed, would this be maybe a new component? Do we want this as a new component? Where would that component live? Would it be sort of a common service like a data layer, or would it be its own standalone component? Vimal suggested maybe it could be a subcomponent of maybe a controller. So we just made one presentation to the architecture call, and we had a lot of discussion, and we'll probably have a follow-up. We'll have a follow-up presentation as well. We started talking about a record element, and you can imagine pieces of data would be associated with particular XNFs, like a PNF 106. And ANEI also has an indices relating to a specific network element, say PNF 106 exists in the network. And so there's kind of a record in ANEI for inventory type stuff, and then a record in this runtime database for that same PNF, but related to other runtime data. Okay. All right, and that's actually in this. It's its own use case as well. It's this use case here. We call it ConfigDB. People have suggested different names for this. Data persistency, a runtime database. So maybe you need to eventually settle on a name. But that's actually been discussed on previous realization calls. So this platform topic related to data persistency, it's its own use case. But you can also, in January, we're discussing this. You can listen to that recording. And now that it's kind of its own use case, Joannes and I are looking at getting our resources and getting all the right pieces in place to make to reality. Okay, I see Simuli joined. Simuli, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Hi, okay, great. Thanks for joining. Simuli, I asked Simuli to join and Timo to join to discuss about the licensing management use case, which was also has been presented in the modeling subcommittee this week. And so you want to take the ball?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. I guess it could be best if I go through the slide material that Timo and myself have put
together, yeah, that would right? be great. Yeah. So you know, you have basically the people here are all working use cases, and they're all involved or leading use cases or heavily involved in various use cases. So it's good to share. You know, this is one of the R6 use cases.
Yeah. Right, so let me share the screen. This one. Okay, so I will open the slides that are mostly from the face-to-face in Cista in June, except the last slide, which we have added, and that's focusing on the Frankfurt release. So, okay. By the way, how much time I should use or can use?
Yeah, so the top of the hour, so half an hour.
Okay. This is the outline. So we have a background and purpose, some definitions, which we can maybe a bit skip, and then the principles and use cases that we have a bit elaborated. So the background here is that we do acknowledge that there are some license management related contributions already today in ONAP, like the draft model proposal, and then there is software in SDC as well. I think quite a lot aligning to the model proposal, or maybe vice versa. But our purpose is to refocus a bit so that we could take the discussion from starting from the use cases and then, of course, based on those, then derive any actions that may be needed within ONAP. Right, so we want to provide input to ONAP community on XNF license management kind of area. And I mean the I would say overall goal is really to enable, I mean in ONAP context, enable a solution that easily supports any kind of commercial licensing models. They could be simple or more complex, and they could very well be vendor specific as well, these commercial licensing models. Sorry, was there any question, or maybe it was only echo? Okay, and the definitions, I think we could skip, except maybe the last one here. I can mention that by the term license support service, we mean a vendor specific support application that must be reachable by the vendor's XNFs in the production network. So in order that the vendor XNFs can function, let's say, in accordance with the agreed commercial licensing model. So this we mean by the license support service. It could also be like license server, but doesn't need to be a physical box. So we have this term. Okay, and then I think the beef maybe of this slide kit, as I mentioned about the principles that we would like to define or agree first in the community, even kind of as a basis for the use cases. So here are the main principles that we have been thinking. So first of all, that the XNF license management support is optional in ONAP, and this is because not all of the commercial licensing models need any support from Mano, and here we refer to ETSI IFA 034. That is an ongoing activity in ETSI. Defining the license management architecture, so to say, within the scope of ETSI Mano. Having said this, of course, maybe some commercial licensing models may need some support in Mano, but not all of them. Licenses are obtained from vendor license support service that is then deployed in the production network, obtained by the XNF, or then licenses are logically allocated to XNF by this license support service. So
basically, we're ONAP will plan to follow the ETSI standard, the SIFO 34 standard, right? With the framework and structure that's proposed by that standard will be adopted by ONAP, or could be adopted by ONAP.
You say? Yeah, I think at least could be. It's still ongoing, but
Are there any other standards that are competing standards, or is that the main one that's driving what we might do?
I think that's the main one now that could be applicable. And actually, this ETSI IFA 034 is kind of taking input and I think a lot of inspiration from this, wait a minute, I think TM forum work that has been done, I think, and completed. So yeah, that's one place as well, this TM forum, but ETSI guys are quite a lot aligning to that one. Actually, I'm not so much involved with this ETSI IFA 34 myself, but
so of course there's hundreds of different service providers and vendors out there. We would all expect them to probably, follow one of these standards so that in order to develop something meaningful, of course, people have to be kind of on the same page, right? So are they driven by this standard or that standard? We don't expect them to make up their own thing, right? We're expecting the service providers around the world to basically conform to some standard, right?
Yeah, that's right. And of course, as we speak here about XNF license management, so maybe a good remark is that the ETSI scope is really the Mano. So it means like if there is something license management related in the, let's say, instantiation or so on, like number of instances, which maybe for some vendor could be a factor of licensing I mean, that the number of instances matters. So that kind of things are in the scope there, but very obviously the let's say XNF capacity licensing or features, they are like clearly outside of this ETSI IFA scope because they are not in the scope of MANO at all. So that's a good thing to realize here. Yeah. Okay, so the number two we already mentioned. So the last one here is then that the XNF license support service is vendor specific and deployed in the customer network independently of ONAP. And here mentioning a bit again that these commercial licensing models might be even quite kind of advanced and they might be vendor specific, so that the that's one motivation why why we here say that this license support service should be vendor specific, because it needs to support all and any commercial licensing models of that particular XNF vendor. Okay, then we have a few use cases, actually at this point only two of them. As you see, the at this point it's still very high level definition of the use case, so these are not at all like complete. Anyway, what we have here is PNF introduction with ONAP plug and play. So again, like three bases here, that four points. That first one, licenses should be obtained by the PNF or licenses logically allocated to PNF before or after PNF registration takes place. And then kind of continuing, we say number two that it's out of scope of ONAP how licenses are obtained by the PNF or logically allocated to PNF.
Would you ever expect it to be onboarded ever, or is it also always obtained dynamically after something is in runtime?
Yeah, I mean, we expect that the PNF as part of the let's say configuration files that the PNF needs to be initially provisioned with. So in those configuration files, basically the address of this license service is indicated. So then the PNF can just fetch the whatever needed licensing information is needed in this particular vendor's PNF.
So a question. So the license information, it's in the initial PNF onboarding package or the building into the device?
Not in the yeah, that's a good question. The licensing information of PNF is not in the onboarding package, but it is it resides in this license support service, so the PNF will obtain it from there. Because if it would be if it would be part of onboarding package, it would be kind of.
But could there be some scenario where you need to get additional license information? So say for example for PNF, we could get a PNF that can support both LTE, the 4G and 5G, Mm-hmm. And we might have a license only for 4G and not 5G. So we want to do a software upgrade and say install 5G software as well. I'm just maybe that's the licensing impact that we don't have license to do that.
Okay. So that after the software upgrade, the 5G capability is there, but kind of the license for that would be missing.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is that if you can identify for both VNF and PNF, all the events that could be license impacting when we do scale up, when we deploy it, when we configure it, when we scale down, we decommission it. And those are the events that's when we need to go and query and say, I need a license or need to release a license because I'm decommissioning it. Is that the... Yeah. That's the philosophy we are using. Okay. So yeah. The license is outside, but we just need to make sure that we have hooks to go and verify that we have a license, valid license to do the activity we are about to do.
Yeah, exactly. So as you mentioned, one of your examples was, I think, scale down or scale up. So meaning the number of instances is changing. So. So it is true that maybe some vendor may have a model where the number of instances matters from licensing point of view, and in that case, of course, the orchestrator, so to say, that is performing the scaling needs to know, can I still scale up, for example. Or is everything like consumed? But actually, as in the Gista face-to-face event, in the discussions, this kind of questions was up, and Timo and myself, we could only speak on behalf of our companies, Nokia and Ericsson, and actually we don't have that kind of scenarios that the number of instances matters. So, but some vendor can of course have, and that's when the orchestrator really would, I think, would need to have an interface to the license service.
So the let's say it's a question for the scenario Weimar just mentioned. So the case one would be. Like a software upgrade, we need a license. Or like a PNF registration deploy into the network, we need a license, right?
I would always say potentially need license because it could be, I don't know the licensing arrangement, but this could be an event which could have a potential license impact and therefore we need to query the license server to say, do I have license to do this action?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the PNF introduction is actually really the use case we are here sketching on a very high level. And in that very case, we just say that it happens, but it happens without ONAP being involved. So that the PNF needs to know, okay, where is my vendor-specific license service, and then it just handles fetches the whatever appropriate licensing information from there. But yes, it's true, like you say, upgrade or other use cases may be valid use cases for at least some vendors. Again, I mean, for me, I can only like, I'm only aware of basically my and Timo's, as far as we have discussed these three use cases together with Ericsson and Nokia. So, but more use cases probably are valid for some other vendors, but that we don't know yet, actually. So it's a very important point to get all the use cases listed and hopefully more vendors to to join in into this activity. Okay, so the other use case we now have sketched here again on a very high level is VNF instantiation. And here we say that the licenses can be obtained by the VNF or logically allocated to VNF before or after the ONAP ONM connectivity with the VNF takes place. And a bit like in previous slide about VNF, we say that it's VNF choice if this happens before or after the ONAP ONM connectivity takes place. And also that there would not be no need to support like both alternatives, but it's a VNF choice. And also here, again, in line with the okay, yeah, go ahead.
Just one question. I would have thought that just obtaining license, I know I have a license, might not be sufficient. Vendor might say, as a part of configuration, I need to give the license key so that software can be activated. So that should be part of a configuration activity to say, I get the license during SO, SO get the license key or some certificate to say, yes, I have authority. And the configuration would be to configure the software to say, here's the key so the software can be activated. Is that what we are doing here or something different?
I think your comment is really for the, as I understand it, it's for the case if the number of VNF instances matters for the, if it's kind of a licensing criteria, number of VNF instances. So in that case, it is true. I mean, then the orchestrator needs to, I think the orchestrator shouldn't instantiate anything if it already knows that, okay, that there are no more licenses, so.
Then orchestrator won't get a licensing key because it'll say, request denied, I don't have a spare licensing key to give it to you.
Exactly.
But I think we have to use the controller or somebody to configure in the software to say, here is the key and that will activate the software.
Yeah, that then sure, if that's the thing, if a criteria is the number of instances, but as I said, actually in case of Ericsson or Nokia, we don't have that kind of licensing model at all in any of our products, so that our software can and starts so to say. And the licenses are then really for the capacity and features of the VNF or PNF likewise. So again, here is, it can be different for different vendors, really. Which factors are kind of, on which factors the licensing is kind of based, so or yeah,
exactly,
yeah. So go ahead.
This is trying to connect to the license with all the 5G network, like so all the in the any network. So then let's say the PNF, the device, you know, commission into the network, right? So at that moment, the testing up, all the testing to be done. So license should be come from the device, the flow perspective, right? Then you have the part, the service package. The package is either with via EMS or via device come from Netcom EN model. To the database, whatever database, just say configure DB or other database. So at the moment the network element commission into network, that license will be database into the one in the database in the config DB or the database, right? That's the flow, or you're thinking that it's change. I'm just ask, come on, try to make us one, the license number will be license, yes, or logical model will be registered in the application layer, from network layer to application layer.
Yes, exactly. I think when you say application layer, this is really what we are after here. So application layer meaning like capacity licensing or features, different features that the application can support.
Right. So let's say you commission to the network, like say network, then you can say it's a capacity license or what, you know, I'm trying to see what aspect license or the usage by the operator, use the device, what kind of license you are trying to try in the Ericsson Nokia you try to do in here. I'm just trying to do you, what kind of license, a capacity license or device?
Yeah.
What kind
of license? Exactly. We are actually only having like capacity tied PNF or VNF licenses and the features of the PNFs and VNFs. But like I said, we, for example, don't have the number of instances. It doesn't matter at all in our cases.
Okay.
So that you are free to instantiate how many VNFs you like, but then the from licensing point, the capacity and the features are the licensed objects, so to say, in our case. But again, some other vendors may have different factors under license control, so to say. Different objects under license control. Yes.
Okay, so we only have just a few minutes left. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just just go through your other slides and people hold off on questions.
I think this is actually the last one on the Frankfurt focusing. So just very quickly, we within Frankfurt, we would like to achieve this number 1, 2, and 3. So define and agree the license management principles versus the key use cases. Also the XNF onboarding actually should be one use case. Okay. Didn't have here material. So one example is really of these principles that is license management service part of ONAP or outside of ONAP. I mean, this is like a very fundamental question somehow. And based on the approved, hopefully within Frankfurt timeframe, approved use cases, so I think we think that the ONAP license management VNF requirements should be reviewed. There are some, I think, 7 or 8 of those in the VNF requirement project. And maybe some minor update to ONAP architecture, but hard to say at this point. And the notes are also a bit important, especially the first one, that we don't foresee any impact, I mean software impact, to any ONAP components in Frankfurt timeframe, but maybe then in the next releases based on the use cases. So. And the last row is maybe not actually true. This was a preliminary plan, but.
I think also another point, though, is that the modeling subcommittee has already defined a licensing model, which probably needs to be revisited as you progress on this use case, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, there maybe our input for modeling within that time frame of Frankfurt can be quite tough to achieve, because probably at the quite late stage of Frankfurt, our use cases could be ready. So then it's for the next release of modeling, maybe. But, yeah, to
right.
Easy.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Simoli or Timo?
I can just add that at least myself and I guess Timo as well will be in the subcommittees face-to-face in Antwerp. So I think it's, if anyone wants to discuss, and we plan actually to propose the topic also in agenda there. So I think the discussion should continue there.
Oh, great.
And maybe even before that, maybe, yeah.
And you're aware the M0 is tomorrow, so that you need to fill out the use case potential impacts and stuff assessment, and also the TSC page. I saw that there's a entry already in the TSC page, which is good. You can just follow it in the chat or listen to the recording earlier in this meeting. I was going over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can check with. Yeah. You, me, and Timo, but I think we tried to fill in the relevant places, so to say, but if more is needed for M0, then of course that's what we should do.
Yep. Okay, great. I think we've hit the end of our time. Thank you, everybody, for joining. I hope you found this discussion useful. And have a great day. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.